at the Presbyterian home the other day. I met a young minister, and he said, is there any way I can overcome my nervousness and shyness when I'm preaching? And I said, well, I'll tell you something. I said, by nature, I lean more toward the introvert side. So the first time I ever got up to speak, to preach, you know in the scripture where it says the king saw the handwriting on the wall in the time of Daniel and his knees knocked together? Well, that's the way I was the first time I ever got up in front of people. And I do admire people getting sing too, you know. I would like to share that, but I think that's one treasure that I'm going to keep hidden a long time because it's going to which tune I'm in and what note it is. But today, we're going to be in the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Beginning with verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I think this little passage of Scripture sort of encapsulates the entire New Testament. It tells us what our job description is all about. I also was thinking, too, the other day, as I was writing the sermon, there were two books which were published in different separate decades in the 20th century. One of the books was written by James Allen, and the other book was written by Norman Vincent Peale. They described the faith power of thought with its unlimited potential. The books were based on a biblical text out of Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Allen called his book As a Man Thinketh. Norman Vincent Peale later updated the theme with the title, Stay Alive All Your Life. And these books focused upon the nurturing process of our spiritual well-being, which many times gets neglected. And sometimes they starve to death because we don't nurture them. But imagine for a moment the numerous people that you've encountered throughout a lifetime. Some have been sweet-natured, while others have been irritable and disagreeable. You know, I don't know about you, but my observation is, why is it the sweet people seem to die young and the meanies always last a long time? They never die, you know, and I've seen that happen through the years. You wonder, oh God, three good funerals make a perfect church. But it happens if we see that. What made those negative people develop that way aside from psychological issues? Well, perhaps life has treated them unfairly, or perhaps circumstances shortchanged their avenues of opportunity. Tension doesn't have to be a permanent factor in anyone's life. St. Paul had a transformation experience on the road to Damascus. If it was plausible for such a repulsive individual to change with God's help, the same rule can apply to us. See, many times, many instances, we think the Bible characters, they were on a different level from us. They were just ordinary people, with the exception of Jesus Christ. They were ordinary people, just like you and I. So, God still treats us the same way. And Paul's experience said that I was a meanie before my conversion, but afterwards I realized God is now in control of my life. And we also must desire to do so as well, and not just theorize our faith. We must practice it, activate it, and apply it daily in our lives. And in overcoming adversities, you couldn't ask for a better example than the Apostle Paul. So daily, you have adversities, problems, issues. Hey, we're all in the same boat in this room right now. As we all, and now they're different in some ways, But remember this, God is there. God is for us. Remember in The Wizard of Oz, where you read the book by Frank Baum, or the old movie with Judy Garland in it, when the good witch Glinda, she told Dorothy she needed to travel to the Emerald City to see the great wizard. And then Dorothy's question to her was, and replied was, when is it always best to start at the, you know, where do you start? And Glinda replied, it's always best to start at the beginning of your journey. Just think about that, your faith journey. Have you started it yet? I've known people who are mature adults, you know, so I didn't say old, mature adults who have never even walked the first step in their faith journey. They have stayed the same for years and years, and they cannot say that they have grown spiritually at all. Our yellow brick road may not always be well-defined, but there is God to guide us. See, God was a GPS long before the text even got hold of that term, because God is our guide. James says in the Epistle of James, if anyone lacks wisdom, what? Let them ask of God. We have it right here in front of us, and yet sometimes, and most of the time, we're reluctant to use that. We are very reluctant. But life has many roads and detours. You know, sometimes you start out in one way and you end up going into another. It's amazing how life, if you look back on your life, you'll see how you zigzagged through it. It wasn't quite straight line, but zigzagged at the same moment. And so, as people of faith, we must seek God's wisdom continually. And of course, I said some people are very careless about which boulevard is the best and safest route. But what happens when there are pitfalls and stumbling blocks and negative distractions? Just remember, God is only a prayer away. Now, that probably sounds simplistic to a lot of us, but simplicity, a lot of times, has its rewards. Because in that simple statement, prayer, God is only a prayer away. And there will be mistakes and perhaps catastrophes. But God is the God of second chances. You know, I'm glad, and I'm not God, because a lot of times I don't give people a second chance. Do you? Once they blow it, they never seem to be redeemed in everybody's eyes. But God does. God does give second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. You just think about the times that you have messed up and God has forgiven you. So when that happens to somebody you know, whether it's a family member, relative, acquaintance, or whatever, you just remember, if God can forgive them, so can you. Frustrations will occur, but God will never abandon us. Remember the scripture verse out of Romans 8:31? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, if I ever decided to get a tattoo, I think I'd have that tattooed on my arm. I will not get one because I don't like pain and needles. But if I ever did, that would be the verse I would have tattooed on my arm. You ever feel trapped? Well, there's an escape clause granted by God, and it's called G-R-A-C-E, grace. God will guide us if we will only seek God's help. You know, there's a lot of biblical personalities, if you look through the Bible, both the Old and New Testament, were between a rock and a hard place in numerous incidents, but they endured, and the same may apply to us. I'm just going to only use one illustration, the Israelites, the children of Israel. When Pharaoh said, you may leave Egypt to go back to your land of milk and honey, they left and departed. Well, Pharaoh changed his mind. If you remember the story, he said, what have we done? We've lost our greatest economic asset, our slaves. And so the 3 million children of Israel were heading toward the Red Sea. Well, you know what? The Israelites realized in this Exodus story that, hey, we've got a turbulent, really big amount of water ahead of us. And look at behind us. We've got dust rolling. It's these Pharaoh's cracked army after them with their best chariots possible. So they were really wedged between a rock and a hard place. Do you ever get in that point sometime where you feel like you're like the Israelites, you have the Red Sea in front of you, you have the chariots of Pharaoh behind you? It can happen to all of us. We feel overwhelmed by this. But yet, God never abandoned them, nor Moses, and neither will God throw us to the wolves. Remember what Moses did through God's help? He parted the Red Sea. They got through it. And what happened to Pharaoh's chariots? Well, guess what? The water didn't stay up that long. It collapsed, and they drowned. But God provided an escape. God provided a way out. If we can put ourselves in the sandals of those Israelites, hey, you know what? If we get in a jam, we know that God will help us. Now, am I going to say instantaneous? Well, maybe or maybe not. But what I'm saying is that in our faith journey, those little incidents like this help strengthen our faith all the way. Now, am I saying that God is a masochist, that God likes to send bad things? Not at all. Not at all. But what I'm saying is that sometimes our faith gets stronger if we encounter some turbulence in it. I don't like turbulence myself. I don't like tribulation. I prefer to stay away from it. But I have found this out, that when you do go through it, God is holding your hand the entire time. I don't understand atheists. If I could not be an atheist, because I'm such a weakling, I need a crutch, is what atheists say we are, because we believe in God. Because I understand that, you know, if when I hit an issue or a problem or something or a tragedy, you know what? I have no one to turn to but God. The other day I lost my last living aunt. She was in her late 80s. We were very close. And it was difficult, but God's help, I got through it. So at the same time, we all have things to go through. Financial problems, the empty nest syndrome, perhaps issues with spouses or whatever it may be. But God is there. God is really there. But you know, some people have lived very devout lives, but those tragedies and problems persisted to plague them from every direction with more than their share of troubles. Have you ever noticed that? It's like a dark cloud. It's like in that old cartoon, Little Abner, where Injun Joe has that black cloud hanging over him all the time. And some people do, and you wonder, wow, they really had their share. I had a couple in a former church of mine, the sweetest, most gentle couple you would ever meet. 3 out of 4 of their children died of cystic fibrosis. You would think, hey, how could I overcome something like that? I would be very bitter at God, not they. God's grace sustained them through it all. And I remember that. They became my icons of something that I look to and remember that God was there for them. But St. Paul said we should never give up. In the 1700s, and for those of you who come from this denomination, there was a German Lutheran missionary named Johann Fabricius. Now, that sounds like an air freshener, doesn't he? I've got to admit, I mean, you know, can you imagine enrolling him in school today? He'd better learn how to box with a name like that. But anyway, he served in India for a half century. He was in India as a missionary long before it became popular to be a missionary. He was a very pleasant sort of person, though his life occasionally was far from idyllic. He was a brilliant man who could converse fluently in a dozen languages. He was a prolific hymn translator from the German hymns into Tamil and Urdu. He was a great preacher and a founder of an orphanage. The church where he was parson during his lifetime mushroomed from a few people to several thousand people. We talk about mega churches today in a lot of places. They have 4,000 or 5,000. Guess what? This fellow had a mega church 300 years ago. And how he did it? It was with those orphans. There were hundreds of orphans. He nurtured them. He catechized them. He did all kinds of things. Taught them Bible studies. Guess what? They became members and parishioners of his congregation. Then they matured. As adults, they became officers and leaders in the church. And so they were there all along for him and everything. And unfortunately, Fabricius saw his orphanage destroyed twice in a war and his church building destroyed twice in a war. Toward the end of his life, he also faced accusations, false accusations of financial mismanagement of the mission funds, which was not his fault at all, but he was thrown in jail for it briefly. Even some of his missionary colleagues turned on him. It must have been very hurtful on the fellow who dedicated his life over 50 years serving God in this field and have this to happen. But his last years may appear as a failure, but his achievements have endured to this day. The Bible and hymns he translated, believe it or not, almost 300 years later, they're still used without any revision whatsoever. The King James Bible, if you ever use one, is not the King James Bible 1611. It's the revised 1769 edition. But his Bible never has been revised because it was translated so well, and he was such a gifted scholar that the Indian people have never thought it deemed it necessary to even come close to a revision of it. His hymns are still sung regularly. And you know, the orphans I mentioned who were adopted by this missionary did become leaders of the Indian Lutheran Church, and their descendants to this very day in South India, around Madras and some of those southern Indian cities, they are leaders in those congregations that were expanded and everything. So Fabricius, he maintained a joyful witness while overcoming insurmountable obstacles. They said while he was translating the Tamil Bible in jail and translating hymns from the German, he would sing all through some of those hymns, and people would hear his voices throughout the entire jail. And of course, I mean, it was not a typical jail. I mean, you know, the Polk County Detention Center, it was a lot more freer. He could have friends come and go without having to go through background checks. But Fabricius, in fact, asked to stay a little longer in jail because he was having such a, if you want to use the word, wonderful experience, but he had a tremendous ministry, and it developed in there. And so, upon his death in 1791, the church lost a great person. You know, life can throw us some curveballs, but never forget that God is still in control of our destinies. Don't permit circumstances dictate to you and make life miserable. Remember, it is by remembering that God loves us through all circumstances. And going back to my favorite tattoo verse, if God be for us, who can be against us? And stay alive all your life. Let us pray. Oh God, sometimes when we are facing tribulation and trials and troubles, we forget to call upon you. Let us remember what James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him call upon you. And we do that, oh Lord, and we need to make that a regular habit. We need to nurture our faith as we're walking down our faith journey. We need to be there, oh Lord, with a disposition that we know that you are still in control. We give thanks always, oh Lord, for your love to us and our salvation. Through Christ we pray. Amen.